we're going to spend the week together and become alchemists, or at least psychological alchemists, I hope. And I want to encourage each of you to read as much as you can of these texts. If you haven't already read them in preparation for the course, to be busy about it during the week, because we will be really considering these texts in some detail and basing our discussion on them. These are extremely interesting, profound, but also difficult texts to read. And so if you don't get it through the first time, I've been reading them for 20 years, and each time I read them, there's something I didn't see before, and that's what he's up to here, and that's what he's trying to get at. And it takes many, many readings. It's like reading poetry or the Bible or something like that. The texts are, as Jung said about a lot of his writings, double-bottomed. And there's a kind of superficial level that you might think you get, and then you read it again and you see other resonances, and there's something else that he's really after. And so there are many layers, different things going on in the text, and nuances, and we'll try to pick up some of those in the course of the week. So our discussions will be text-based. Each day has a text assigned for it. I don't know if we'll get through all these texts. We certainly won't get through them in detail, but we will try to stay on schedule, so that today we will consider the text called Psychological Interpretation of the Golden Flower, and tomorrow we'll look at Psychology and Alchemy, which is Volume 12 of the Collected Works, Parts 1 and 2, focusing mostly on Part 1. On Wednesday, we'll look at Jung's essay, The Spirit Mercurius. Thursday, The Psychology of the Transference. And Friday, Chapter 6 of Mysterium Conjunctionis, Volume 14. Before we start with the first text today, Secret of the Golden Flower, I want to put these writings, all of them, into a context of Jung's overall opus, his life and work, so that you know where he is in his life and sort of what's going on, what's come before. Just get that up on your screen. You've all been through basic concepts. Some of you have gone through the certificate course, so you have a sense of the timeline of Jung's life and where he was, what he was, his age and so on, what he was doing at various points. So I want to locate these texts on that timeline of Jung's career, his life and work, before we start. And I want to start out by saying that what Jung did with alchemy was to appropriate it for psychology, for psychological discussion. And you must keep in mind that he was not a historian of science. He wasn't trained as a historian. He wasn't interested in being a historian, per se, historian of science, which are usually the people who read alchemy and study it. They put it in the context of the history of science. First there was astrology, then alchemy, and then chemistry and science. There was an evolution of attitude and thinking in the West, the Western world, that finally ended up with scientific chemistry. And alchemy was a precursor of that. So those are the people who are usually engaged in these texts and study them and think about them. Jung was not interested in uncovering a piece of the history of science and discussing it as a historian would. So he, nor was he interested in using alchemy to discuss history of religions or philosophical ideas and their development in the West or in the realm of the occult or something like that. He's appropriating this area, alchemy, the alchemical writings that date from the early centuries of this millennium, starting the first, second centuries, and in the Western world, culminating in the Middle Ages and then going into decline after the 17th century, when science began and chemistry took off and so on, and was after that relegated to the occult and to the backwaters of Western thought. So these texts that Jung is becoming so fascinated with at this point in his career, from 1930 on, are play a role in his thinking, and an increasingly important role in his thinking from 1930 on afterwards. But we have to say that every text ultimately is about psychology. He's doing psychology in these texts. He isn't practicing alchemy. He isn't interested in the history of science, history of religions per se, although he includes that material. But really, he's interested in saying something about psychology. And that's the thread, as you read the alchemical texts, always to pay attention to what is Jung saying about the psyche and about psychology. Well, then the question becomes, what has alchemy got to do with that? Why introduce alchemy at all? Is alchemy to be seen simply as a metaphor for psychology? That isn't quite right with Jung. It's more like alchemy is an amplification, but why use alchemy instead of fairy tales or myths or other places that Jungians reach to when they want to do, when they want to amplify something psychological? Why was alchemy so important for Jung? So that's something we'll want to think about. And I won't answer that right away. I think Jung hints at it in the foreword to the second German edition of the essay on the secret of the golden flower, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Before about 1930, Jung didn't mention alchemy very much. I tried to do just a quick glance through the collected works that are made up of essays and books that he wrote before 1930 to see if in the index there's any reference to alchemy. And it's a little hard to tell from the collected works because Jung went back and rewrote things sometimes. And so there, for example, in volume 5, that was written in 1912, Symbols and Transformation of the Psyche, or Symbols of Transformation in the collected works now, you will find a few references, mostly in footnotes, to alchemy. But alchemy was not an interest of Jung's before about 1930, a serious interest. Not nearly as much as, say, Gnosticism was an interest, or Eastern religions, or the Upanishads, or something like that. Alchemy really did not catch his attention, until he got this document from Richard Wilhelm, the Chinese alchemy text on the secret of the golden flower, and was asked to write a commentary on it. That was about 1928, I think. Published with Wilhelm in 1929, Wilhelm translated the text from Chinese into German, and Jung wrote a psychological commentary on the text. And it was his engagement with this text that really turned him on to alchemy, he says, and there's no reason not to believe him. And we'll try to see in the whole week that we've got ahead of us, why is alchemy so important to him? Why was it such a tremendous fascination? And it was an incredible flowering of intellectual activity and interest in his life. Now keep in mind that in 1930, Jung is 55 years old. His career is pretty much behind him. Most people are thinking about retirement by that time and moving to Arizona and playing golf. This was not on Jung's program. But nor was it on his program, I'm sure, that he would produce the massive amount of work that he had that lay ahead of him in the next 30 years, most of which is either on or about or heavily involved with alchemy.